Hello and welcome. It's hour number two, hour two of the podcast, and it's about a tremendous choke job by the Atlanta Falcons. They had a 20-0 lead. The Cowboys kept turning the ball over. Atlanta was leading by 19 points at halftime. They had a big lead with just a couple minutes left in the game. They gave it all away. Should Dan Quinn be removed as coach of the Falcons after that latest choke job by his squad and the indefensible play on special teams? We'll walk you through it at the end of this game. Of course, the answer is yes. I will explain why. We'll get to it all, and we will do it right now. Here it is in hour number two. On the comeback trail, and then some. Welcome in the beginning of the Ben Maller Show for this hour. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond as we filibuster the overnight hours away, emanating live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Although we're apart these days, we're sharing more, and Geico is sharing more too with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for both current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. And so we begin with a stunner. A I-can't-believe-what-just-happened situation. We go to Texas. It was the early television window where Dakota Prescott threw for 450 yards, had four touchdowns, three of them on the ground. The Cowboys rally all the way back down 20 points at one point, down 19 points at halftime, and Greg Zuerlein makes a field goal late. And just like that, the Cowboys stun the Atlanta Falcons 40-39. The final, one of the historic comebacks in the regular season in NFL history. Zeke Elliott adding 89 yards. He had 122 total yards and a touchdown. And Dallas avoids the 0-2 start with a trip to Seattle on tap next weekend. Mike McCarthy, for now, can exhale as the heat that was going to be on his backside has been shifted to the other locker room. And this is a classical example of the better story being in the losing locker room. The word here, upheaval. Upheaval for Atlanta after their latest football catastrophe, blowing big leads. This is what that team does under their head coach. That has been the consistent with Dan Quinn. And many pundits, national pundits, have decided that ixnay on the coach. We got to get rid of Dan Quinn, that he must be removed as coach. So I want to address that. The question, as we discuss, should Dan Quinn be fired by the Falcons? And the answer to that is a fire hot. Yes, absolutely. Now, I've got Mr. Freeze, Blue Moon, and Home Depot. And we will combine all of these things together. Now, number one. If ever a game is worthy of costing a coach a gig, this would be it. Now, it's not just this game. It's the full body of work leading up to this game. You can't dismiss the entire resume of Dan Quinn, but you have to add this on top of the pile, right? You're stacking. It's like stacking plates. And let me give you a thumbnail recap as to why. All right, thumbnail recap as to why. The Falcons were given a 20-0 lead. They were spotted 20 points by Dallas, courtesy of the generosity of the Cowboys. Three fumbles and a turnover on downs led to 20-0 in favor of Atlanta. Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott both decided the kind of candy bar they like is the Butterfinger. And they both had the Butterfingers there. And each of those fumbles led to touchdowns for the Falcons. This was an act of charity. The Cowboys like, we don't want the game. We're going to give the game to Atlanta. And it was 20-0. At halftime, it was 29-10. So you got a 19-point lead. And sure enough, Atlanta puked up the entire advantage that they had for a historic outcome. This was the 286th time in NFL history that a team had scored 39 points, had no turnovers, and three takeaways. And those teams leading into Sunday were 286 and 85-0. They're now 285-1. The Atlanta Falcons would be the one. Another slice of history pie for Dan Quinn, whose claim to fame is the Super Bowl 28-3. But wait, there's more. The Falcons scoring 39 points, not committing a turnover. So just those two stats. Forget the takeaways. Just the 39 points, not committing a turnover. The blown onside kick, which we'll get to in a minute, not classified as a fumble. It's not a turnover on that particular play. But 39 points and no turnovers. You win the game 100% of the time. It's not my opinion. It's a fact. It's always been that way. It's never been different. There have been 440 previous times an NFL team scored 39 points and did not have a turnover. Those teams went 440-0. They had never lost before Dan Quinn and the Atlanta Falcons showed up and said, hey, look at us. And the villain here is the coaching technique of Dan Quinn. Most of coaching is just reminding your players of what they already know. But the collective special teams unit, the coverage unit for the Falcons, the onside team, the hands team to recover the onside kick, make sure it doesn't go to the team kicking off, they all acted like Mr. Freeze. So Atlanta up by 15 points with under 5 minutes remaining. Couple of quick Cowboy touchdowns. They cut the score down to 2 points. 1:49 left to go in the game. All Atlanta has to do is not allow the onside kick to convert for the Cowboys. This is the easiest play in football in recent years to stop the other team from converting. The onside kick. We've all seen it. Other than that guy for the kicker for the Falcons, who's, by the way, on the team that's trying to recover the onside kick, no one else has been able to really pull it off. And so on that play, you jump on the football. You protect that at all costs. It's a nearly impossible play to make unless you're the stumble bums from Atlanta. So Greg Zuerlein, the onside kick, if you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. But if not, if you missed the game. So Zuerlein tries the onside kick, and he spins the ball. He spun. A lot of English, old English on the football, right? And to the amazement of everyone watching the game on television. So Zuerlein spins the kick, the onside kick. And it's like, how many Atlanta Falcons does it take to decide whether or not to jump on the football or not? Well, apparently the answer is more than five, okay? Because the Falcons were standing around watching the spin of the football. Spin. And while they're doing that, rather than attacking and being aggressive, they're being passive, and C.J. Goodwin of the Cowboys pounces on the football. There were literally, hand to God, five Atlanta players on the kickoff recovery team that froze like Mr. Freeze and watched an onside kick by the Cowboys slowly. It was on replay, but it was slow instant replay, but it was in real time. And these guys, these five Falcons, watched as the ball, they waited for it to go 10 yards. Who does that? Listen, the first time you're in Pop Warner football, they tell you that. The first, you're like 7 or 8 years old, they tell you what's going on. And none of them, they all stood around twiddling their thumbs. The Falcon, the players on the special teams unit, they failed to do basic football 101. And that, while it's on them because they're the players, it's on the coach for not reminding his players. And, by the way, let me add, that list of the dirty five for Atlanta includes future Hall of Fame receiver Julio Jones. He is on the list. He was on the field there. He suffered a brain fart with those other four guys. They all forgot or ignored the fact when you are the receiving team, you are at a huge advantage. The ball does not have to go 10 yards. You can recover the ball prior to it going 10 yards. You simply jump on the football. There's no waiting. That's the reason the onside kick is so hard. And give credit to the Falcons. They made it a hell of a lot easier when they decided the Falcons not to jump on the ball. So now the Cowboys, and to the credit of C.J. Goodwin there, they just wait for the ball to go 10 yards. That's the hardest part. And so it comes down to coaching. You have to remind your players in that situation. You can't assume your players are not idiots. You can't assume your players aren't idiots. They're not going to have a brain fart in that situation. And clearly, the special teams coach and also the head coach, it starts at the top and works his way down. Dan Quinn didn't do that. That is a fireable offense. That is a fireable offense. Now, the second thing here, the Falcons should change their nickname to the Swans because nobody does a better swan dive than the idiots in Atlanta. All right? I mean, what is going on? Dan Quinn has become the gold standard for the choke. He has. The Heimlich maneuver is what Dan Quinn needs in these games. His pipes have burst from the pressure more than anybody in modern coaching. Comebacks, believe it or not, are actually very rare in the NFL. I gave you some numbers to back that up. Unless you're going against Dan Quinn. His teams collapse. They collapse more. You know those infomercials for Life Alert that you see sometimes late at night on TV? That his team falls apart and collapses more than someone that's got that Life Alert. When you go up by 20 points, you are all but guaranteed to win if you don't turn the ball over. The chances of you blowing the lead. We gave you the numbers, right? 440 previous times, a team scored 39 plus points, did not have a turnover, 440-0. Enter Dan Quinn. Enter Dan Quinn. All right? And here we are. All right? Unbelievable. You go up by 20 points, you're all but guaranteed to win. 39 points, no turnovers. It happens once in a blue moon, and this is the blue moon. Unless Dan Quinn must have made some kind of deal with some entities there. It's like he completely has brain farts in these situations at the end. Now, listen, Quinn, this loss is bad, but it doesn't reach the level of 28-3 against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That is the all-time standard for this. But this was its own kind of masterpiece. All right, this was its like little stepbrother is what this was. Atlanta's got a rinky-dink secondary. We knew that going in, and the book on Dak Prescott, as we anticipated, Dak was going to get his numbers. I thought the Cowboys would win by a wide margin. They decided to be very charitable, as we said early in the game, and give the ball up. But one thing about Dak Prescott, this guy knows how to beat up crummy defenses. And Atlanta allowed Dallas to drive for four touchdowns and a field goal on the final six possessions of the game. And Dak got his 450 yards and a partridge in a pear tree. But that only tells you part of the story, right? Now, the final point here. So the final point on this, Arthur Blank. There, I saw him. I saw Arthur Blank there. He was doing his thing there. I saw a shot of him. I think he was at the game, unless it was tape of him earlier. But Arthur Blank genuinely likes Dan Quinn. They are, like, together, Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari as bosom buddies. Right. Nice guy, Dan Quinn. You just don't want him making decisions with your football team. The Falcon players all seem to enjoy playing for this guy. But enough is enough. At some point, the grown-ups in the room have to put their foot down. Atlanta has allowed now 953 yards and 78 points in two games. That is biblically bad. Now, Russell Wilson's good. Dak Prescott against weak opponents is good. But those guys, 782 yards combined, the Seahawks and Cowboys scored 10 touchdowns against this Atlanta defense. So Arthur Blank should go to Home Depot, should grab one of those 2x4s in Home Depot, like an old 1980s wrestler, and slap around the coaching room. Heads should roll. You get a pink slip, you get a pink slip, you get a pink slip. Everybody gets a pink slip. Enough.
You're fired.
The fact that Dan Quinn made it this far is a shocker. He should have been fired at the end of last year. The Falcons were 1-7 at the midway point. And then they won a bunch of games in the second. I think they went 6-2 the last eight games of the regular season. But I would have let him go. Who cares what happens at the line? When you're buried at 1-7, you're done. It doesn't matter what you do. I stop watching. It's like getting all excited because somebody has a big spring training in baseball or they play well the last month of the year. Do it when it matters. The Falcons didn't do it when it mattered. And yet, because of that bond, the owner, Arthur Blank, said, yeah, we'll bring him back. Dan Quinn should have been given the tarmac treatment, should have been whacked at the tarmac and said, that's it, you're out of here. We're going to have an interim coach. We're going to bring back Jerry Glanville as the coach of the Falcons. Why not? The Falcons now play host to Mitch Trubisky and the Bears next week before traveling to Green Bay the week after that. And at last check, Dan Quinn has not been fired as coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Somehow, he is able to continue on blowing games at a historical pace. What the heck is Arthur Blank doing? What is he expecting? What is he expecting? All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to talk about any of that, it is all fair game. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. We're also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. You can join the fun here. And we're all over the phones. We'll take a bunch of these phone calls. We got Third Degree coming up later in the hour. And an NFL team turning to hockey for help on Sunday. Did you see this? An NFL team needing help from the hockey world on Sunday. We'll get to that, and we'll do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We need to grow the Maller Militia. This is the program of the people, by the people, for the people. Let's help bring new listeners to the Magic Radio box as we burn the midnight oil. If you'd like to help, please just post messages about the Ben Maller Show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all other social media. Word of mouth advertising is invaluable. And now live from the GEICO Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
So we began this hour talking about the Atlanta Falcons with a historical choke job against the Dallas Cowboys. I wanted to hear Dan Quinn, some sound from Dan Quinn. Now, I got to deal with Dave Roberts in the playoffs. Dave Roberts, the Dodger manager, his go-to after the Dodgers gag in the playoffs every year is I really liked him in that spot when a guy goes out there and just poops the bed. So here is the Atlanta Falcons version of that. Here is Dan Quinn talking about the pain of losing like this.
It's tough to put a loss like that in place. I told the team there has to be a lesson in the pain of that loss, and I'm sure we will work into that as we're getting into our preparation for next week, but definitely one that stings.
Yeah. Didn't you take that lesson a couple years back? I mean, Julio Jones was on that Falcon team a couple years ago. What's up with that? Here's Quinn also on the timeout prior to the onside kick, that fateful onside kick where the Atlanta Falcons collectively, five of them, stood around and watched to make sure the ball went 10 yards before they tried to do anything. When they didn't have to do that, they could have just jumped on it and, for all intents and purposes, ended the game, ended the comeback, and instead were bashing McCarthy and the Cowboys on how they could give the game away like they did early in the game. But didn't happen. Here's Quinn on the timeout and what led to the onside kick after that and all that happened.
In that space, what we try to do is if you have a timeout, you want to see if there's an overload to a side, not an overload, but you know, a direction that you're going to see. And so that's what we did. We call that moment, hey, we're just trying to correct what we're going to see if it comes up and looked like it was a slow roller as opposed to a high bouncer. We've got to go capture it, you know, when the moment comes. So I'll get a better view of it tonight, Zach. But from where I saw, it was a slow roller and one that we should, you know, make the aggressive move to go get it.
Wow. Dan, that kept his job. I just checked again. He still has. I've not seen no reports of his demise as coach. I've seen no reports of his demise. The Aussie guy writes in, says, with 5 minutes left in the Cowboy game, I was cursing the Mike McCarthy hire and thinking that he's the worst coach. He is a horrible coach, but Dan Quinn said, hold my beer, according to the Aussie guy. Your Sports Source writes and says, great monologue, Ben. For the past 10 years, I have been watching two of the greatest choke artists of all time, Dan Quinn and Doc Rivers of the People's Team. I feel blessed and always enjoy their fan base's demise. Now, Justin in Cincinnati writes and says, perfect monologue for the Falcons. They blow. We haven't seen a choke job like that since like 3 days ago by the Clippers. But Justin, that's a bad job by you. We have not seen a choke job like that since Dwayne in Lubbock took Justin in Cincinnati to the woodshed at the end of last week. That was a run down, run over, run through, KO. This guy that's the game show whore. If you missed Friday's show, go down, download the podcast. At the very end of the podcast, this dope Justin in Cincinnati got trucked by Dwayne from Lubbock. an unknown. Dwayne showed up and rat-a-tat-tat, bam, 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 and down goes Justin in Cincinnati. He is still not recovered. He is still not recovered. What the Clippers did is nothing compared to what Dwayne did against Justin in Cincinnati. So that's a good job by Dwayne. The word slinger writes in, says, do you think the Falcons were thinking the ball would stop before reaching 10 yards like a third baseman with a slow rolling bunt on the third baseline? Yes, yes. How about this word slinger? Remember that guy? What was the guy for the Mariners? I think it was the Mariners. He tried to blow the ball foul. Remember that?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. Was it Lenny Randle? Was that who it was? Sounds familiar. I don't know. Anyway, the guy tried to blow the ball foul, one of the great bloopers of baseball history back in that time. But no, you just jump on it. You jump on it, the game's over. You win the game. You for all intents and purposes, you win the game. Ed from Spokane says,
oh, my God, you are right. It is Lenny Randle.
Oh, how about that?
Good Lord.
Losing baseball knowledge. Loser baseball knowledge. That's in my head, Eddie.
Apparently Kevin Seitzer tried it once, too. But
oh, did he? Yeah. Now, Lenny Randle's the king of that.
For the Mariners, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Ed from Spokane says, you would think that Greg the Leg kicked a hand grenade that the Cowboys could only defuse. It's the way they acted. That is absolutely the way they acted. All right, let's go to the phones. And eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's say hello to Chris in San Antonio. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
Hello.
You like that? Hello. You like that? Cowboys, baby, are going to the Super Bowl. Oh. Telling you right now.
Oh, boy. Every Cowboys.
Cowboys and Steelers. And Cowboys winning. Sorry, Eddie. It's going to happen.
Damn it. Thanks, thanks for warning me.
Yeah. How come the Cowboy callers are the worst callers in sports radio and for
what
football?
The Rams fans and Clippers fans are such sheep.
You Cowboy guys are such sheep. I mean, just calm down.
Sheep? What are you talking about?
You're sheep. Five
Did I misspeak?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, five
Super Bowls. Super Bowl untainted championships.
That's really helped the Cowboys out in the last 20 years. All those championships have really, they've been ostracized from the NFL over the last 20 years as far as winning championships.
No, we're still America's team. We're still God's team.
God's team, really? I thought God was supposed to like all the teams. I didn't know God was supposed to play favorites. What's up with that?
Cowboy Stadium, the other one, they have that ceiling part where so God can look at them when they play on Sundays. And I think the Raiders tried to copy that.
Okay. Sorry, this is terrible. You're drowning, Chris, as a caller. This is a terrible phone call, Chris. You understand how bad this sounds? I've got to get some other sycophants on. I got to move on from you. It's a terrible phone call. Horrible call. Let's see here. Johnny in Houston. Hello, Johnny.
How are you doing, sir?
What's going on, Johnny? Talk to me.
I feel like I've been going to just funerals here in Houston.
Yeah, why is that?
Whether it's, pick your team, the Texans, the Rockets, the Astros, it's just a parade of bad news around here, man. I know.
Well, one person's bad news is another person's good news.
Yes, I know. I saw that your Dodgers are doing very well, and I hope you die an early death.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that.
It's very kind of you to say that. I probably will. Taking calls like this, I feel like I'm dying a little bit every second I take the calls here. It's terrible
here, though. That's all I had to say. It's terrible.
Well, maybe you shouldn't cheat. How about that? Maybe you shouldn't cheat to win a World Series. Man. Maybe this is all. I'm just saying. How about this? Maybe you don't sign. You don't sign pitchers who are in their late 30s to multi-year contracts. How about that?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable.
Do you see Justin Verlander, Tommy John surgery? He's out for next year also.
He's out till his contract's done.
I know. He's going to get all that money, man. They're paying him for that cheating, tainted World Series.
Hey, there was a beautiful girl in the stands, and maybe it was all worth it for her.
Yeah. Hey, and it's amazing that Deshaun Watson, he got that big contract, and now without DeAndre Hopkins 2 weeks in, he is, what, Jared Goff of last year? Wow. Mediocre. Deshaun Watson, a mediocre NFL quarterback 2 weeks into the season.
I mean, like, I'm telling you, like, I've talked to so many Houston fans, and absolutely nobody understands the Hopkins trade.
Well, they didn't want to pay him. It's not that hard. You should understand that they didn't think he was worth it. They just gave him a contract somewhat recently. They didn't want to pay him a new contract. He wanted more money. He went to Arizona. They gave him more money. And in his place, you've got, what, Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb?
Why is it always about the money, baby?
That's how life works. You know that. Life's always about the money. Come on, Johnny. You know that. Do you work for free? Of course not. You work for money. It's always about the money. And if the boss wants to get rid of you, it's because you're making too much money. You're not producing. All right, I got to go. Thank you. Enjoy all those losses, because I know I am. For every Houston team. I love it. The Rockets, they don't have a coach. They're a coachless team. They're stuck with that dead weight Westbrook unless they can convince the Knicks to take Russell Westbrook. You got James Harden, the man that self-destructs in the playoffs. You look at the Texans with the great Bill O'Brien riding that team into the ground. They don't have to worry about winning the division this year. And then you look at the Astros. Woo! Man, are they a mess. Oh, it's great. This is wonderful. This is just perfect.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
So we take you now back to Los Angeles, where the Kansas City Chiefs were taking on the Los Angeles Chargers of Inglewood. And Andy Reid was on the sidelines. Now, last week in the opener for Kansas City against Houston, Andy Reid had his own fog bowl. Remember, Andy, he had the clear face shield on. He chose not to wear the mask. He had the face shield on. And it kept fogging up. It was hilarious. It was amazing. It was tremendous. The comedy gold of Andy Reid, this future Hall of Fame coach, parading around the sidelines. And he could not even see because of his immense breath as he had the hot air blowing on the mask and all that. Well, turns out, that would not happen again, the fogged-up face shield, because the Chiefs and their equipment staff turned to the National Hockey League. They used the same defogging technology used by NHL players to prevent their visors from fogging up on the ice, and it appeared to work. I did not see Andy Reid have any kind of issue at all, which is very disappointing there. But Andy Reid wearing this technology from hockey, defogging technology there, and he was able to coach. I saw several other coaches. I'm guessing the people that are outraged at the mask violations. Pete Carroll just said, who cares? I'm like the oldest coach in the NFL. I don't want to wear the mask. He didn't have that going on. And the internet, of course, ratting out every coach who did not have the mask properly placed. Bill Belichick had an odd look in that Sunday night game.
Yeah, that was so odd. Yeah, it was weird, man.
Right, he had the mask, but
it had it folded or something, right?
Exactly. Only over his nose.
Yes. Yes. It didn't cover his mouth. It looked like it was missing the bottom part of it.
Yeah, he folded it, I think it was.
Like he had mutilated the mask or something like that. Yeah, it did look odd.
I think all the gum chewing that Pete Carroll did was like forcing the mask off of his face.
It looked like he wasn't even trying to have it. He's like, yeah, whatever. Who cares? I don't need it. I'm the oldest coach. I don't want to do it. I'm done. And there were several other coaches. I mean, I was like, listen, whatever. If you want to wear the mask, I know the NFL's got their rules. You're supposed to wear the mask and all that. But
the referee in the Steelers Broncos game was having a hell of a time. Every time he was announcing a penalty, he had to like move his microphone, and then it was like stuck on his headset, and he was. He was having a tough time with that. Unfortunately, he was calling a lot of penalties in that game.
Yeah. Speaking of penalties, did you see everyone's up in arms here? And I understand why they're up in arms. In that Charger-Chiefs game, there was a no call. Tyreek Hill took his helmet off after he scored a touchdown. I'm sure your wife was happy about that, Eddie. They chose not to enforce the penalty. That would have... Well, it would have been an option. They would have pushed the two-point conversion back, or you could have saved it for the onside kick, right? Or the kickoff, rather.
Correct.
You either one of those options, but the Chargers didn't have that option. So I think I think you should allow the players to take the helmet off. But if you're going to have the rule, you've got to call it, right? I think I don't mind them taking their helmet off, but if you're going to have the rule, you've got to throw the penalty there. Shows you the Chiefs though; they're getting calls now, Super Bowl champs, and they're getting the calls going their way. That's what happens. You start winning championships, and then you start getting those calls. The officials all of a sudden have amnesia; they forget to throw the penalty. All right, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. On Fox, we're going to have Maller to the third degree coming up in a moment. The 49er Jet game, not much of a game. A lot of injuries in that game. The 49ers B squad, actually their C squad, able to take down Gang Green. Another gutless effort by the Jets. But in that game for the Niners, Jerick McKinnon had a 55-yard run on a 3rd and 31 for San Francisco in the win over the Jets. The last team to convert a 3rd down that long on a run was the Vikings when blank ran wild. Again, Jerick McKinnon of the Niners, he had a 55-yard run on a 3rd and 31 for the Niners against the Jets. The last team to convert a 3rd down that long on a run were the Vikings on blank's run, his redonkulous run. That is the question. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Only a few rare birds are able to listen to all 4 hours of the Ben Maller Show live overnight, but thanks to podcasting, you have no excuse to miss a second of our unorthodox chatter. Subscribe to the Ben Maller Show podcast on iTunes and give us 5 stars. It's quick, painless, and noise management. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And we will have, coming up just a couple minutes here, Maller to the third degree. But first, the Insta trivia in that 49er Jets game, which was not much of a game. Jerick McKinnon of the Niners, one of the few guys on San Francisco that didn't get hurt. Jerick McKinnon had a 55-yard run. It was a 3rd and 31 for the Niners, and he rips off a 55-yard run and obviously converting the play there for the 49ers in the game over the Jets. The last team to convert a 3rd down that long on a run was the Vikings on blank's redonkulous run. That is the question. What is the answer? And the answer's flowing in here. Jim Kleinsaucer, guessed by no help. Dalvin Cook from Queen Roxanne in Colorado. Chuck Foreman tossed out by Gumby Dave. Maller prop guy got this right, clearly cheating. Chuck Foreman guessed by Jeff. Who else do we have here? Let's see. Page down. Bobby the Brain Heenan from Tortilla Man Tony. Let's see. You can't read it. Chris in Houston says it's definitely that choke job by Justin in Cincinnati. Alfred Anderson from Maddie from the Natty. Herbert Birdsfoot, the great opiner, says it's Ed Too Tall Jones. That is the answer. The Brown Hornet, guessed by Greg the Realtor from Baltimore. Adrian, the pokey, pokey, pokey man, is going with O.J. Simpson in the white Bronco. It's his answer. Aussie guy says Herschel Walker. Who else do we have? A lot of Herschel Walker. That was Manic Mike's answer as well. Robert Smith from Trucker Joe. Hassan Jones from Chris in Des Moines. Arik in Minnesota got this right. Do you have an answer, Eddie?
Yes, I'm pretty sure it was Mark Van Egan.
Ha! Is that right? No, that's not right. The correct answer. This guy, a better college player than an NFL player. Remember Leroy Horde? Remember Leroy Horde back in the day? Yeah.
Former Michigan Wolverine.
That's right. Back when Michigan football was good. Leroy Horde had a 53-yard run on a 3rd and 37. That was back 21 years ago in 1999 for
Never
Minnesota. And that had been the last player before Jerick McKinnon to go crazy on a 3rd and over 30 play. And it happened against the Jets, of course. Here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, Coop Daloop.
So it was reported over the weekend that Mike Brown will be interviewing for the Pacers head coaching position. Ben, how does this guy keep getting chances to be a head coach?
Well, he did such a great job with the Lakers, and people are lining up to hire him. Why not? No, this is simple. This is cronyism, right? Because we see this all the time. Teams such as the Pacers hire a friend. That hire a friend mentality is not the best candidate that gets hired. It's the candidate with the best network or who is the best known or the biggest name. This is not the biggest name, but to go from Nate McMillan to Mike Brown would be like exchanging one set of retread tires for another set of retread tires. Why? What are you doing here? And B, listen, Mike Brown, I got nothing against the guy. He's unassuming. He's modest. He's likable. He's settled into the good old boys network of coaches. And Indiana knows that he will be a professional coach. They won't win anything. He won't embarrass the franchise. But can't you do better? Can't you at least try to do better if you're the Pacers? Next.
So Russell Wilson was on Dan Patrick on Friday when he said that he believes he is the best quarterback in the NFL, quote, without a doubt. Now, Ben, most people probably give that title to Mahomes even after Wilson's big game today. Where do you rank Wilson, though?
Well, listen, Russell Wilson is correct in terms of the word best. As you know, the term best means as good as all the others in that category. That's why we have a lot of restaurants that serve the world's best turkey sandwich or best pastrami sandwich. Because in advertising parlance, that just means you're as good as all the rest in that category. So yes, by that definition, Russell Wilson is as good as all the rest. Patrick Mahomes is the, I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment. Mahomes is the top quarterback. He's head and shoulders above everyone else. And then after that, it's a grab bag. It's Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, in any order, I don't care. And then we've got the old-timers edition with guys like Breeze and Roethlisberger and Brady. Next!
So LeBron admitted over the weekend that he was pissed off about his lack of first-place MVP votes. Ben, this is the fourth time that LeBron has been second in MVP voting. Do you think he should have been first any of those times?
Well, I don't care about past years. I'm worried about this year. He didn't deserve it this year. Anthony Davis was has more of an argument for the Lakers than LeBron James. And I love these people get all upset about, oh, Giannis choked in the plus. It's a regular season award. Who the hell cares? How do we do, Coop?
You failed this edition.
That's a winner. That is a winner. Coop's bitter. Bad judge.